بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وبعد الحمد لله we've now reached chapter 40 in Kitab al-Riqaq the book of heart softening narrations from Sahih al-Bukhari and chapter 40 does not have a title. In the previous chapters, we've seen that all of them have titles. This chapter does not have a title. However, there are some manuscript editions of Sahih al-Bukhari in which there is a chapter title given for this one. So in one of the manuscript versions, we do have a chapter title called Tulu'u Shamsi min Maghribiha, or The Rising of the Sun from the West. And there is a single hadith in this chapter. Imam al-Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi relates, حدثنا أبو اليمان أخبرنا شعيب حدثنا أبو الزناد عن عبد الرحمن عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا تقوم الساعة حتى تطلع الشمس من مغربها فإذا طلعت فرآها الناس آمنوا أجمعون فذلك حين لا ينفع نفسا إيمانها ولتقومن الساعة وقد نشر الرجلان ثوبهما بينهما فلا يتبايعانه ولا يطويان ولا يطويانه ولتقومن الساعة وقد انصرف الرجل بلبن لقحته فلا يطعمه ولتقومن الساعة وهو يليط حوضه فلا يسقي فيه ولتقومن الساعة وقد رفع أحدكم أكلته إلى فيه فلا يطعمها. And this is from Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه, and he relates that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, the hour will not be established until the sun rises from the west. And when it rises from the west and the people see it, all of them will believe. They will attain iman. But that will be the time in which no good will it do for a soul to have iman. And here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is referencing the ayah, لا ينفع نفسا إيمانها, which is in Surah Al-An'am. On that day, no good will it do for a person to have iman if they did not have iman before that. He says, the hour will be established so suddenly that two people spreading out a garment between them will not be able to finish their bargain. If they spread out a garment to negotiate a sale, there won't even be enough time for them to finish that before the sun rises. He says, nor will they be able to fold it up. The hour will be established so suddenly that while a man is carrying the milk of his she camel, he will not be able to drink it. And the hour will be established so suddenly that someone is not able to prepare a tank of water to water his livestock from it. And the hour will be established when some of you have raised his food to his mouth but cannot eat it. So we're all familiar with the first part of the hadith, which mentions that one of the greater signs of the Day of Judgment is the sun rising from the west. And this hadith is mentioning that major sign and other details, telling us also that it happens very quickly. It's not a sudden process where you get a sense that something is going on and you prepare before it happens. No, when it happens very quickly, to the point where if anyone did not have iman before that, then their iman will be of no benefit to them. What then is the connection between this chapter and the book Kitab al-Riqaq, the book of heart-softening narrations? What's the connection between softening the heart and this hadith, which talks about the rising of the sun from the west? Some of the ulama, they talk about this, and they say that this hadith is essentially reminding us that we have had a sufficient warning. We've already received that warning. It is sufficient. We've had enough reminders. We've had enough wake-up calls. We had enough khutbas, enough talks, enough reminders. We've had it all. We've received it all. So if none of that benefits until that point, then it won't benefit to have it then. So the Quran itself is a sufficient reminder. And this sign of the Day of Judgment is linked to a person attaining iman and benefiting from their iman before the sun rises from the west. So we see here that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam references the ayah in Surah Al-An'am. He only mentions part of it. The full ayah, لَا يَنْفَعُ نَفْسًا إِيمَانُهَا لَمْ تَكُنْ آمَنَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَوْ كَسَبَتْ فِي إِيمَانِهَا خَيْرًا. On that day, no good will it do for a person to believe if he did not believe before or earned good through his iman. So this verse is referring to the rising of the sun from the west. That is the majority position of the scholars of tafsir. They mention that this ayah is directly connected to this event, the rising of the sun from the west. And Imam al-Tabari, who is one of the earliest mufassirs, the commentators of the Quran, after he presents narration after narration about this verse and its meaning, he summarizes at the end and says, the most correct opinion regarding the meaning of this ayah is that it is understood in light of the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he says that becoming a believer will be of no benefit after the sun rises from the west. Now, once the sun has risen from the west, anyone who did not have iman before that will not be benefited. But here, there's some questions. What if you're already a Muslim? Is your iman going to benefit you after that, or will it not? There's some detail here. So the ulama have looked at this from a number of perspectives, and they said that anyone who did not already have iman will not benefit on that day by saying, I believe now, because the sign is so apparent. And if anyone did not have good deeds, then those good deeds they do will not be of benefit for them. But if a person had iman and they had some righteous actions before, those will continue to benefit them. So Imam Muhammad al-Safarini, he mentions in his work of theology, Lawami' al-Anwar, after presenting all of these narrations, he presents a kind of categorization of the different kinds of people and who will and will not be benefited once the sun rises from the west. So he says that you have the disobedient believer. Yeah, they're a believer, they have iman, but they are very disobedient. And they have iman, but the iman has not pushed them to actually earn lots of khair. They don't do good deeds. Now, is that person actually a believer? Well, according to orthodoxy, according to Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, righteous actions are shartu kamal. They are considered a condition for the perfection of one's faith, the completion of one's faith. They are not considered shartu sihha, a condition for the validity of one's iman. So conceivably, a person could have iman and be very disobedient and neglect good deeds, but if they have aslul iman, the root of iman, that will ultimately benefit them even if they are subjected to punishment in the hereafter. That is our belief. So you have the disobedient believer who has iman, but they have not earned good with that iman. The second type of person you have is the believer who, as Allah describes him, خَلَطُوا عَمَدًا صَالِحًا وَآخَرَ سَيِّئًا. They've mixed good and bad deeds together, which is the majority of us. That's the reality. Yeah, you have iman, you do good, but you also mix it with some sins. That's the second category. The third he mentions is the believer who has made tawbah from his sins, and his iman has pushed him to earn good. And the fourth is the person, well actually there's not four, that's just those three. Well there's a fourth, but yeah, they have actions but no iman, those actions don't benefit them. So we can leave them out. So Imam al-Safarini mentions these categories and says, for number one, a person's prior iman will benefit them even if they are lacking in good deeds. So once the sun has risen from the west, if they had Aslul Iman in their heart, that will still benefit them, even if they were lacking in good deeds, because as we said, actions are a condition for the completion and perfection of Iman, not a condition for the validity of Iman. So this means the person will not dwell eternally in the hellfire, even if they are subjected to a punishment in the hereafter for some time. So that person's Iman still benefits them insofar as they don't dwell in hell eternally. Even if that's the only benefit, that's still a benefit. So this person, their Iman benefits them when the sun rises. The second category, that person's prior Iman will benefit them, as well as the good deeds they were doing before the sun rose from the west. Those two things will benefit them. Who's the second category? The one who mixes good and bad. So they have Iman, they have good deeds, and they have bad deeds. Right? So he says that if you have Iman, and you have good deeds, and you mix them with bad deeds, your Iman will benefit you if the sun rises from the west. Your good deeds will benefit you that you were doing before the sun had risen from the west. But once the sun has risen from the west, your tawbah will not benefit you. Because the Prophet ﷺ says in the hadith that لَا تَنْقَطِعُ الْهِجْرَةِ حَتَّى تَنْقَطِعَ التَّوْبَةِ وَلَا تَنْقَطِعُ التَّوْبَةِ حَتَّى تَطْلَعَ الشَّمْسُ مَنْ مَغْرِبِهَا. That hijra will remain, it will not be severed until the tawbah is severed, no longer valid. And tawbah will not cease until the sun rises from the west. So if you are there when the sun rises from the west and you make tawbah after the fact, that tawbah won't be accepted. But your good will be accepted from before, as well as your iman. And he says regarding the third, the prior iman and the prior good deeds that they did before will continue to benefit them even after the sun had risen from the west, because they were doing them before, and we assume they continue to do them after, so they continue to benefit them. The point here is they're not bringing something they didn't have before. That's the key point of this hadith, that you have to have iman, you have to act on that iman, it has to be reflected in your states, in your actions, in your character, in good deeds, in avoiding the haram, in making tawbah if you fall into the haram. If all of those things are in place, then whatever iman you had before and whatever good you had before will endure if you continue those things. But anything new that you bring that you did not attain before, whether it is iman, whether it is tawbah, whether it is righteous actions you've never done, those things will not benefit a person because they weren't doing them before. So we believe as Ahlus Sunnah, not even Ahlus Sunnah really, not even just orthodoxy, but even, you know, heterodox groups within the Muslim Ummah, generally there's the shared belief that taklif, or moral responsibility, is ongoing until you die. So Allah Ta'ala says, وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. Worship your Lord until certainty comes to you. Certainty here means death. So this does not mean, oh, I have certainty, I can stop now. No, it means worship Allah until you die. Taklif, moral responsibility, is ongoing. So the hadith here is talking about those who will not do not benefit from their good before. It doesn't mean that they stop whatever good they were doing before. This sign should awaken in us an understanding that the time for preparation is not tomorrow or next week or next month or next year. It was yesterday. It was a week before. It was years before. And if we haven't made that preparation, then we start now while we see the sun rising from the east. Taklif does not end. And I wanted to mention just briefly before we end, because I've been asked this a couple of times here, and maybe in a recorded form, it'll be heard by others. You have Muslims in this community and in other communities who you don't know them, or maybe you do, but they struggle with substance abuse. They struggle with alcohol and drugs. There are Muslim drinkers, unfortunately. There are Muslims who are smoking marijuana and taking other substances. And I have been asked on more than one occasion about the hadith regarding the one who drinks alcohol and their prayers not being accepted for 40 days. There seems to be a misunderstanding. Some people are under the impression that this hadith means that if they drink alcohol or consume some illicit narcotic substance, that their prayer is not accepted for 40 days, therefore there is no prayer for 40 days. That is a mistake. The way we understand this hadith is that if a person were to consume alcohol or any other intoxicant, that's a major sin. And the hadith mentions that that person's prayer is not accepted for 40 days. The hadith says nothing about the obligation being lifted for 40 days. The obligation remains, even if the person consumed alcohol or drugs. But what is lifted, what is removed, is the reward. That is what the hadith means. It's not accepted, meaning they receive no reward for that. It's غير مقبولة. That does not mean that the obligation is lifted. So people should understand this. Obviously they should not be taking those substances, but if they do, may Allah turn to them in tawbah and to all of us, but salat remains. And we see this in the Quran when Allah Ta'ala addresses this issue. لَا تَقَرَبُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَأَنْتُمْ سُكَارَى. Right? Do not approach salat while you're in a state of drunkenness. Until when? Until you understand what you are saying. So you still have to pray. Right? So obligation remains. وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.